Carolyn Maloney, always a wonderful pleasure to talk with you. Before we go into the fiscal cliff, which I want to get to, I wanted to ask you about the House itself. I mean, I remember my legislative process classes and the rest of it. In the Senate, everybody gets a big voice. You can stand up. You can make as much noise as you want. But the House is different. If you have a Republican majority with 17 extra votes, something like that, they get far more than 17% extra of the time. The Democrats sort of get shut down, don't they?
Well, no. You always have rights as a minority party. The motion to recommit on legislation, the right to vote against whatever you want to vote against, speak out against what you want to speak out against, and certainly try to advance the causes that you believe are important for America, for your district, and to help people. So there's always a voice in the minority. I would venture that some politicians are more effective in the minority. I'd say that Churchill made his mark really in the minority, pointing out that the majority was not taking what was happening in Germany seriously. So there's always an opportunity to make a difference.
Yeah, but I'm not talking about opportunity.
You are stifled, and certainly the greatest power is the power to set the agenda, what goes to the floor, and to really set what passes, and the majority has that power.
Now let's talk about the fiscal cliff, if we can. The Democrats, it seems to me, are holding extra cards here. Are they not?
I would say they are, but first I want to make sure that your listeners know what the fiscal cliff is.
Sure.
It refers to more than $500 billion in tax increases and across-the-board spending cuts that are scheduled to take effect after January 1st for the fiscal year 2013 alone. Taxes would rise for nearly every taxpayer and many businesses, and there is a broad consensus that this sudden onset of higher taxes and sharp spending cuts would be too much deficit reduction too suddenly for a weak economy and might throw us back into a recession. But if Congress takes no action, everyone's taxes will go up, and that would be an ultimate lump of coal in America's Christmas stocking, I'd say, or Hanukkah stocking. And even the threat of once again refusing to raise the debt ceiling could cost a great deal and have very costly consequences. As you remember, Alan, the ratings agency, Moody's, made it very clear last time that they lowered America's credit rating, not because of our inability to pay. They knew we could pay, but because of our unwillingness to act in a responsible way to address the long-term debt. And that is why the president is pushing very hard to have raising the debt ceiling part of the fiscal cliff negotiations. The Bipartisan Policy Center has calculated that last year's debt ceiling fight will ultimately cost taxpayers $18.9 billion over 10 years due to elevated interest rates. And so we want to avoid that debacle again. The White House has published a report that shows that a typical middle-class family of four would see its taxes rise by $2,200 if Congress does not freeze tax rates for the middle class. As you know, the president and the Democrats want to extend the so-called Bush tax cuts for everyone who is making less than $250,000, but to allow the rates to go up on the upper income of people. The Council of Economic Advisers estimates that allowing the middle-class tax rates to rise and failing to patch the AMT, which is very important in New York, cut the growth of real consumer spending by 1.7 percentage points in 2013 and would be worse for everybody. So the nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office found that extending the middle-class tax cut would boost our economy, our GDP, by 1.3 percentage points and jobs by 1.6 million. Now, Speaker Boehner, and President Obama have agreed that they need to extend the middle-class tax cuts. I hope they do it before the end of the year. And there is some areas that we agree on. We agree on actually a lot. I'd say neither side favors the sequester, and neither side actually supports an expanded alternative minimum tax protection and Medicare cuts for doctors. And the very important part, the so-called Bush tax cuts would cover 98% of all taxpayers on incomes below $250,000 for couples or on income below $200,000 for individuals. So we all agreed that 98% should have that tax cut. The issue is where to find the offsets to avoid adding to our annual budget. And there is growing bipartisan consensus that additional revenues will have to be part of the solution. And that actually represents some progress. You have seen some Republicans walking away from their pledge of no taxes. Representative Cole came out and said, take Obama's offer to gain tax cuts for 98% of the population. But there is strong disagreement over how to generate the revenue and who pays for it. Everybody thinks it should be someone else. The GOP has been open to about $800 billion more in taxes. President Obama and the Democrats say that the revenues need to be increased by $1.6 trillion in new taxes over the coming decade, over 10 years.
Carolyn, we're almost out of time. We only have 2 minutes. So where does it end up?
Well, I think that we have to come to an agreement and avoid the fiscal cliff. But we're growing out of not having enough time. There are some people who want to go over the fiscal cliff. Some Republicans don't want to ever vote to raise taxes or accept the tax increase on the upper 2%. So they want it to go over the cliff. So then the tax cuts expire. So they're not the ones doing it. The fiscal cliff does. But that would roll our markets, hurt our economy, and it's a dangerous thing to do.
Okay, if you're a betting woman, what do you bet the number is? You pay more taxes over $250,000, which the president wants, $500,000, $400,000. What do you bet?
I would say that the president's plan of protecting 98%. With the tax cut for those couples making less than $250,000 is passed, I hope, before Christmas. And the tax rates will go up on the upper 2%. And then we need a balanced approach. We need to have some cuts. Now, President Obama ran on raising taxes on the upper 2% and giving a tax cut to 98% of the American people. He's been very forward. He's got his plan out there, $1.6 trillion in new taxes. It's less clear on where the spending cuts will come from. And we should be able to work that out. We should be able to come to some type of agreement for the good of the nation. And let's get this behind us. Now, some people say you can kick the can down the road. But, Alan, that just means that the debate continues, right?
No, that would be terrible.
There's no oxygen in the room if all you're talking about is fiscal cliff every month or two.
No, that would be crazy. Carolyn Maloney, I love talking to you. I know that it's going to sound wrong to our audience, but I love you too. And we'll be talking one more time in this series. And I have a whole bunch of questions I want to ask you, okay?
Okay, my friend.